With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
You know what seems like yesterday, but it was long ago, when Carrie did her very first show at WAAF, and that was 20 years ago today. Is that correct?
Today is my anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy 20th anniversary.
Thank you.
How have you survived with all these morons?
I don't know.
Well, how long ago was it that, because you, when I first started, didn't you intern for?
Yeah, I started as an intern on July 1st, 1991.
Wow.
But today is my 20th anniversary on the air, like full time at AAF.
So you were there when I was like passed out in the break room.
Oh,
trying to
I
get
saw
sober.
It all. I was there when I had Hillman's ATM card pin code when he used to send me to Dunkin' Donuts at 5:30 in the morning.
Actually, do you have time to run now before your show?
Cinnamon
starts?
Raisin bagel and light cream cheese. Is that still what it is? Greg?
Light cream cheese.
Reminisce.
Oh yeah, the light cream cheese. Just a dollop.
Just a tiny little schmear of cream.
I just like to smell the cream cheese on the bagel.
How your diet's changed, Greg. Now you won't even eat the bagel.
I know. Well, so 20 years ago, you did your first show, which was at night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I started at night.
7 to midnight.
Yep.
And then you went to middays.
Then I went to afternoons.
Then you went to afternoons.
Now I'm back in middays.
Now you're back in middays.
Yeah.
And when I retire very, very soon,
nope,
you can take over.
Not
the,
on a bet.
You can take Hell over the morning show. You can have the morning show.
Not doing it.
That's an amazing accomplishment.
It's crazy.
And this,
I can't believe it.
This is a business in which we eat our own.
What?
our own what? It's amazing.
But
it's
I'm amazing. HR.
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you doing anything special today?
Yeah,
on the show?
We're doing a big anniversary show today. So I've been editing archived audio for weeks.
Yeah.
Digging up.
LB
everything.
Wants to know what editing is.
I used to ruin your show with the reel-to-reel sports minute guy. Remember those days?
You're still
trying
ruining
to paste that
You're
together? Still-
you just ruin it digitally now.
Digital has been no help for you.
Fat digits.
Digital's helped everybody but you.
Captain of mediocrity, okay? That's the key.
I actually found the tape of my first show.
Oh, you did?
Oh, that's cool.
I'm going to play some of it. It's so awful.
Oh, that's
it's
excellent.
It's so bad. It was on cassette.
Of course
we had to
it
find
was.
A cassette player to dub it and digitize it. And
what's your most memorable moment in 20 years on the air here?
I've been going through
and don't
so
please
much.
Don't embarrass me and say it has to do with me. Pick another one.
I think it would be hard to find something.
I know what you're going to say. By the way,
more memorable than
September 11th.
Yeah,
I knew you were going to.
I was
that.
Editing the audio last night. I'm going to play a little bit of.
Yeah.
It's memorable, not most enjoyable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, but it was an amazing. First of all. More so than I think ever, at that time, people needed radio as not only as a news source, but also from a companionship point of view. They wanted to talk about what was going on, and they wanted to hear what other people had to say about what's
going
on.
And we didn't play music or commercials for an entire week.
Yeah.
We just sat in here and talked to people all day and all night for a whole week.
Yeah, and so it's one of the things that you cannot get from any other medium, even though Facebook and others are trying furiously to equal it. There's no this medium allows people to be companions with people that they interact with every day through the radio. And so that, to me, I agree with you. September 11th is really because of the way the country came together, and you got to hear that on the radio, and you got to communicate with other people who were going through the same kind of stress that you were going through.
And it changed the trajectory of my career, too, because for the first few years I was on the air before 9/11, it was just a blast.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, bands and fun and you know.
Read the liners?
Yeah.
Johnny's pretty good at reading the liners,
you know. On September 11th, we all knew immediately that all of our guys were getting deployed. We knew we were going to war, and it totally changed what my focus was, and it changed how, you know, I spent all of my spare time. It changed.
You set out to have sex with every single one of them
before they deployed.
And that was amazing.
And I've made it through the Army and the Marines.
Troops.
I'm halfway through the Air Force.
Don't forget the Coast Guard.
I know. I'm going to get to you, Coasties. Just give me another, like, 5 or 10 years or
so. I tried to enlist just because of that, and I was too old. I was pissed.
But it changed everything about, you know, what I thought was important and what I wanted to focus all of my extra energy on, and it focused a lot of what I do on the air, too.
Careful. Lyndon Cryers is going to start sobbing over there.
Nah, nah. We're good.
Most memorable interview that you have done in 20 years?
I mean, you know, the big sports venues, so you go Foo Fighters backstage at Fenway.
Yes.
Metallica backstage at Gillette. Those were huge. There was a certain instance with a sexual device that Marilyn Manson had during an interview at Ozfest that was quite memorable.
Yes, I'm sure that was, you'd prefer it wasn't memorable.
Yeah, I saw parts of Marilyn Manson that no one needs to see and can't talk about on the radio.
Yeah. All right, so we'll hear some of that over the next 5 hours,
I'm sure. There's going to be in-studio guests, surprise calls.
Wow.
I've been pulling up the biggest rock songs of all the years that I've been on the air. So we're going to play a lot of really cool in-studio performances.
Nice.
The only time Judas Priest and Anthrax have ever played acoustic was here at WAAF. So we dug those performances
out. Some Lover Boy?
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not.
That was a little before my time, but...
Yeah.
But I dug out some really, really good stuff. So if you've been a fan of AAF for a long time... You're going to hear some stuff that you haven't heard in a long time. Maybe only have heard once.
Well, congratulations on 20 years.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Thank you to everybody.
I feel proud that I was your first mentor here when you interned.
You weren't my first, but you were up there.
Wait a second. I always thought I was first. Was I yours?
Mitch Todd was first. You remember Mitch?
Yes, he was our production director.
He was our voice guy.
Oh,
He's the guy that I interned for first.
And then you came over to the morning show.
Eventually. I got there.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that it happened. And here's to another 20 more.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And you don't look a day over however old you are. 30? What'd you start when you were 10 on the radio?
I started when I was 10.
Yeah.
Right. I was actually 8, but I had to lie to at least be in double digits to stay up that late at night.
Hey, listen, I started when I was 8 in my garage. So same kind of thing. I mean, you know, 8 or 10 or however old I was, 11 or 12 or all right. Hold on a second. Josh has something to add to this before we go. Yes, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Josh?
I don't know if it necessarily started with just Kerry, but one of the most memorable moments that I'll never forget was after the Worcester firefighters died there.
Yes.
They went into the building, and I believe 7 firefighters were killed.
Six.
And one of them was a volunteer, and you guys started talking about it on the radio, and then people started donating.
Yes.
And I've never heard anything like that. You guys let it go on all day. All of you hung out in the studio together all day.
Yes.
I'll never forget that. That was awesome, you guys.
Well, that's because the people who listen to the station are the most generous listeners that there's ever been in the history of radio.
Yeah.
So, all right. Up next, the WAAF Workday Blitz. So you get over an hour of nonstop rock without any commercials, and it is the 20th anniversary celebration of Kerry and her very first show, which was 20 years ago today.
20 years ago today.
20 years ago today. Back then, LB was still hanging out in Newport.
Yeah. Did you still have the Corvette then?
When he was handing out autographed 8x10s, the people he was giving them to actually knew who he was. I mean, it was amazing.
Chasing college 21-year-olds at Daisy Buchanan.
You still had your own hair.
What I'd give to have the mullet back.
cannot believe it is 20 years and it's my 20th anniversary show. It's Mistress Carrie reporting for duty on the 17th day of April, the year 2018. And for the next 5 hours, we're going down memory lane with the music, with the interviews, with the special guests. And a very special guest joining me in the WAF studio, somebody that I am proud to now call a friend who wanted to come up and help me celebrate my anniversary, the Secretary of Veterans Services for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Francisco Urena. Thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Look, what a party. We got balloons. We got flowers.
The studio's
just said, my congratulations. 20
Thank
years.
You.
I'm sure that has gone very quickly for you, but.
Well, some of it was quick and some of it was slow, slow, slow. But it's been amazing.
But well, I'm so happy to be here and kind of on this special day. But any day that I'm here in this studio is a special day for all of us because you celebrate so much of what is good here in Massachusetts and around our country. And that is our military and the support to our troops. So I thank you for that, Mr. Scary, today and every day.
Hillman and I were just talking a couple minutes ago because he was asking me what the most memorable day, the most memorable thing that happened in the last 20 years. And we both agreed that there's just no way that anything other than September 11th could, you know, eclipse anything else that's happened in the last two decades because we were here, we were on the air together, the radio station, you know, got rid of all of the music, we got rid of all the commercials, and we basically just opened up the phone lines and gave people a way to just come together and voice their opinions and just kind of, you know, grieve as a community. And, you know, that day really shaped my mission and the things that I wanted to do and the projects that I was passionate about. And our troops and veterans are what I spend all of my time advocating for and volunteering for and working with. And so I see you a lot.
Indeed. Absolutely.
I see you a lot. And I love the work that you guys do. And I just saw you at the Tough Ruck the other day.
That's right. Yeah. What a day it was.
Yeah. Those guys got a lot better weather than the marathoners did yesterday.
They lucked out.
Yeah, they did. But I just, you know, when I look back over all of the years and all of the different events and all of the fundraisers and all of the experiences that we've had together, we go back a ways. We sat down and did a podcast, what, 6 months ago or so before Veterans Day?
Yes.
And, you know, when you said you wanted to come up and help me celebrate my anniversary, and I appreciate it.
But thank you. Again, congratulations. What a special day it is. And I think for us as audience of the opportunity you provide to us to connect this community together, that's really special.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I, you know, you can call me for anything. You know, if you ever need anything, that I'm here for you. And to be able to celebrate a big milestone anniversary like that and to have you come up really means a lot. So
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
Let everybody know if they are looking for information on veterans services in the state and they're not sure where to go or what's available to them, let them know where they can go.
So here in Massachusetts, we have a veteran service officer in every city and town as one of our agents. Every town, every community, every city hall or town hall has a veterans agent. That would be the best point of contact to start a conversation about veteran services, whether you're a veteran, whether you're a dependent of a veteran, a family member of a veteran, or even if you want to volunteer, you're not a veteran. That's an opportunity to start. Here in the month of May, next month, we're going to be decorating an American flag on every veteran's grave across the whole state. So every cemetery is going to be looking for volunteers. Contact your local veteran service officer in your town or city hall to see how you can make a difference.
And where can they go online if they're looking to find out where their veterans officer is?
You can visit our website, mass.gov/veterans, and there you could find the listings of all the local veterans agents throughout the Commonwealth.
Francisco, thank you so much for coming in today. One of the things we were going to do is go back through some of the biggest rock songs of the year that I started on the air. And this was one of the biggest bands of the time and a live performance I dug out of the archives that they played for us. This is Live Days of the New. That's Live Days of the New, Touch, Peel, and Stand, recorded for WAAF. We are commercial-free. It's the WAAF Workday Blitz. Over an hour of commercial-free music, courtesy of the Mid-State Auto Group. That's how we do it every weekday following the Hillman Morning Show. And it is also my 20th anniversary show, and we're going to be getting surprise calls all day, like this one. Hello.
Hi, Mistress Carrie. I'm calling from the 90s.
For anybody that's listened to WAAF for more than 20 years, this is Mark Raz, who used to host this very show. and was the music director before Ozone, and then I got the job after that.
Yes, and I also did that show Pile Driver, which was a rock and wrestling show, which was on the weekends for a while, so that was fun. Hey, listen, a couple things I wanted to call and congratulate you, first of all. I'm very proud of you.
I used to intern for you, too. I interned for Greg. I interned for you before Greg, actually.
Did you learn anything?
I mean, really? You think? I don't know if I learned anything.
I'm still here, though. But for 20 years, you've always put your money where your mouth is as a radio performer and a person that lives and breathes Boston. And I have to tell you, I've always been very proud of you taking your career to the next level. I remember you calling me from several spots when you were driving out to that godforsaken telephone booth in the middle of the desert.
Oh, I'm going to bring Mike Hsu in to talk about the phone booth later on today. Absolutely. The Mojave Desert phone booth.
Some crazy motel somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you and Hsu are drinking too many beers.
Yeah.
And then when you went overseas for those couple of trips, like, I was mesmerized every day
by where
you were and what you were doing. And I got to tell you, you're braver than I would have ever been. And that is a really great thing that you're doing. And you still continue to do for the veterans of Massachusetts and the United States of America.
Oh, thank you, Raz. I learned it all from you.
No, no, I never, ever, ever would have ever been able to do that in my life. And people that's really a brave thing that you've done.
People are texting in on the text and they're like, oh my God, Mark Raz back on AAF. Epic.
Hello, Brockton. but I, you know, it's an amazing thing that you're doing this, and it's great to have people on the radio locally live for 20 years. It's unheard of
in
some states and some radio stations across the country. So it's really a great thing that you're doing. And Greg's been there even longer than you.
Yeah, I think it's 27 years or something like that.
That's amazing.
Now. Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's crazy.
Well, you should be very proud of yourself.
I am.
Because you had a lot of jobs since I met you.
Yeah.
You used to call me from the bakery.
Yeah. Then I was a roadie.
Right. And then when I went to, I was working in New York for a while. You used to come and visit me, and you used to be this little girl with purple hair and these long nails, and then the next time I saw you, you had these huge muscles from throwing around speakers, and it was just great to see you all the time.
See, you know, you could tell everybody that I used to be a roadie and drive trucks and stuff.
Absolutely.
You saw it. You saw it.
Yeah.
Well, we were digging through all of the lists of some of the biggest bands that year, and from that time when I started on the air. And one of them you brought up just before we got on the air, and you were talking about Candlebox.
Yes, I know you and your friend Kristen were in love with Scott Mercado.
No, we became friends.
No, come on.
Yes.
How many times you kidnapped him and had him in your apartment for the weekend? How you became known as the mistress.
Oh, stop it. That's not what happened. So I wanted
to
play.
Where is Scott now? Is he still around?
He's in Seattle. We're still friends to this day. He's in Seattle. He was playing in an Irish band.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, was it in Boston where Kevin lost his wallet in a mosh pit?
I think it may have been, yeah.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
And somebody ended up passing it back up, and they gave it back to him.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty cool story. But Candlebox was great.
We took those guys
shopping.
Huge album. We took Candlebox shopping because they were on tour with Rush, and they found out Geddy Lee collected Chia Pets. True story.
That's amazing.
And so they made us take them to a local mall, and we got Geddy Lee a Jerry Garcia Chia Pet as
nice.
A gift. Yeah, and he put it on the stage next to his petals.
That is great.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. Well, I'm going to play some Candlebox for you.
I've got to run on you here, but I love you. I think you're one of the best ever. And
thank you.
I love WAAF. My time there is just so special. And say hi to Ron. And
I will.
Great to talk to Greg. And I love you guys. And rock on. 20 more years, Carrie.
Thank
20
you.
More years. All right.
Mark
all right,
Raz,
see you soon. Bye,
from the Archives of Boston. I got to talk to you about the golf thing, Alice, because I've tried to wrap my brain around it. Can you please explain this to me?
It's an addiction. It's exactly like drugs, because when you're taking drugs, you take a hit of something, and then you want to follow that up with a better hit. It's the same thing in golf. You know, you hit the ball really perfectly down the middle, and you'll waste eight more shots to hit another good one. And every guy I know that was a former addict or alcoholic that starts playing golf gets addicted to golf, because you get to go outside for 4 hours, you get to hit this ball, and the better you get, the more addictive it gets. So, I mean, I play 6 days a week for the last 35 years, and I never get tired of it. And then you look at the guys that play golf. Bob Dylan plays golf. Neil Young plays golf. Lou Reed played golf. Iggy played golf. You know, you start thinking, these are all the people that you would never think played golf.
It sounds like we should make a rehab facility and send all these rock stars to just go learn how to play golf.
You know what? In some ways, it would probably be an absolute cure for something, because it really does fulfill a certain amount of, you know, it's a game you can't beat. You cannot beat this game. But you'll go out and try every day. And all the guys I know that get into it just literally get addicted to it. Fred Astaire one time started playing golf and said he had to quit because it was going to ruin his dance career. So addictive.
Recorded right here in the WAF studio. That is Incubus. Pardon me. My name is Mistress Carrie. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're commercial free, the WAF Workday Blitz. Commercial free for over an hour every weekday, courtesy of the Mid-State Auto Group. That's how we do it, following the Hillman every weekday. And we're going commercial free again coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But it's also my 20th anniversary on the air here at WAF, and I've been going back through some archived interviews. The first time I've had a chance to talk to some people, like in 2007, when I had a chance to talk to Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. You're on the Taste of Chaos tour, and the first thing I got to ask you is, how is your nose?
Oh, my nose is fine. The reports of my demise were greatly exaggerated. The whole thing was kind of overblown, to tell you the truth.
So did you break your nose, or did you just get a little banged up? Because, you know, you're not supposed to do the crowd surfing thing when you're in the band.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually crowd surf. That's what I think got a little misconstrued in the story. I ran out in the crowd and sang The Kill, and that night in El Paso, everyone got really excited and ran off their seats, and all of a sudden we had about 2,000 people running toward me at the same time singing the song, and I kind of got squished up against the wall and banged my head up against the pole, but it really wasn't that bad. I mean, the song didn't even stop for a second. I didn't notice anything was really wrong until later.
Security guards love it when you guys do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, you know, when I was going to shows when I was a kid, I always responded to the bands that sense of spontaneity and excitement, and I never really cared much for the bands that did the same thing every night. And it's Taste of Chaos, but it was certainly an amazing night. The crowd had fun, we had fun, and that's all there is to it.
You're kind of an enigma when it comes to the music industry, because like so many other people in Hollywood that have tried to break into music, you've actually become more successful as the lead singer of a band than you were in your film career.
I think so, and thanks for that. It's pretty exciting to do something different, and to break through stereotypes is very rewarding. It's been incredible to share it with my band, and we've had nothing short of a phenomenal year, and we're very grateful for it. It's been incredible. I don't make very many films. I never have. I tend to be really specific about what I like to do when it comes to my acting stuff, and so that's nice for us and it's nice for the band, but they're all really respectful, and they encourage me to pursue that other stuff if and when it comes along.
Yeah, well, that was Jared Leto 11 years ago before he won an Oscar. This is their new music, 30 Seconds to Mars, Walk on Water. Hello, General. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Carrie? Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. You scared the heck out of everybody in the control room in the back because they said there was a call from the Pentagon coming in and they all freaked out.
Oh, that's great. We're working so hard to be the quiet professionals in our community that sometimes we don't even know how intimidating we can be.
Yeah, well, so you're not doing a good job being quiet when you're on the radio with me today, but I appreciate you taking a couple minutes out of your very busy day to call me and wish me a happy anniversary. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. My pleasure.
You and I met about 10 years ago when you were out in Westfield at Barnes. And was it you that actually approved me going up in the fighter jet? Who actually put their signature on that piece of paper?
Yes, yes. I was the approval authority at the time. And I thought, hey, we like being the quiet professionals, but we also like to, you know, tell people that we're part of the community. And having you come out and fly in an F-15 with us was all part of that. And it was a great event, a great day, and we're so honored you came and flew with us.
Were you part of the wager as to whether or not I would vomit when I landed? Were you part of that? Did you lose or win money on that wager?
Oh, I won a lot of money on that. And a lot of money is we put pennies on the table, so I got a handful of pennies.
Oh, congratulations.
And I was very happy with that.
680 miles an hour and 9 G's, General. That's what it takes to shut me up because I fell asleep for about 3 seconds in the cockpit.
Oh, that's good, and that's definitely normal, and I was very happy you kept your stomach in one piece.
You got me to be the quietest I've been in my 20-year radio career. For those 3 seconds in the F-15, I was stone quiet.
The only thing we're disappointed was we wish we had you live on the air while you were flying.
I
could have talked about it during those talkative moments.
I would have loved that. We did get the audio, if I remember correctly. We had to give you guys the cockpit audio, and then you had to approve exactly what I was allowed to talk about, because obviously the cockpits of those jets are classified.
Yes, they are, because once we get all our electronics up, they are classified.
So the fact that you guys even let me in there to touch it was a huge honor for me. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, that was quite an adventure and quite a day. And not often do we get an opportunity to fly people in our Mighty Eagle. But again, as I said, we're glad we could do that. And that was around your 10th anniversary.
Yeah, that was in 2008, about a little over a year after I got home from Iraq. You guys said, why don't you come out and put yourself in that jet and see if we can make you throw up?
Right.
Mission not accomplished.
You've seen the full spectrum, everything from the Army Guard in Massachusetts,
yeah,
what we do, all the way to the Air Guard and how we defend the skies every day.
Well, congratulations to you. You were the Adjutant General here in Massachusetts, and then you got your third star, and they moved you down to the Pentagon, and now you are the Director of the Air National Guard at the Pentagon. So congratulations to you, too.
Oh, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. It's quite an honor, and I'm pretty amazed that they look to me to help them out with this program, because it's quite a great program with, you know, fantastic people.
Yeah, everybody here in the Mass Air National Guard has just been amazing, and you guys know that I'm always here for you, and you know that if you ever need anything, you know how to get a hold of me, and you know how to bribe me, too, because you could just put me up in a jet again. Anytime you want, I will be there, General.
That's great, Kerry. You're the best.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes out of your busy day. And I'm going to play a song in your honor that was one of the biggest rock songs of the year I started on the air.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.